Welcome back to Money Life, where it is time for today's big interview. And I know that you guys are as excited as I am for my guest because she hasn't been here since 2020. Dana Telsey is the Chief Executive Officer and Chief Research Officer at Telsey Advisory Group, which really doesn't do her justice. She's kind of the preeminent researcher on retailing around the country today. If you want to get a market opinion about retail and you want to understand what's happening with the market, you have to talk to her. And we haven't been able to talk to her for a little while. And the last time we did, we were heading into the holidays in 2020. And man, has everything changed again. But it's funny because a number of you, when I said that she was coming back on the show, sent me notes going, oh, well, I remember when she was on and she was talking about what was going to happen with malls and whatever. And so interesting. Can't wait to see what's going on. So let's dig in. Dana Telsey, it is great to have you back on Money Life.
Thank you, Chuck. Thrilled to be here. Glad to speak with you. A lot to talk about and share because you're exactly right. A lot has changed and happened since 2020. And I think the pendulum just continues to swing. It's exciting.
It sure is. Let's hold off on that for just a second because I need to remind my audience that you're here on the Gainbridge Hotline. Gainbridge helps you take control of your financial future. You can self-manage your annuity investments from purchase to payout via Gainbridge's easy-to-use online portal at gainbridge.life. Gain access, gain control, Gainbridge. Dana, let's jump in on the changes because in 2020, when you were last here, well, we were still in pandemic mode and you were talking about how you thought things would come back. But the truth is, nothing is quite what it seems in the reopening play and everything else that's happened since then. So give us a current state before we can dig in and kind of go in different directions.
Sure. Let's just put the framework together. When we were last all together, I think we were in the midst of the pandemic. And what's changed since then is the narrative of consumer and retail has really adjusted. It used to be that, oh my, there are too many retailers. Oh my, Amazon is going to take over consumer spending. Or oh my, so many retailers need to go out of business. Guess what? That happened. Amazon did not take over the world. You had retailers close stores, and you had around 96 bankruptcies in the consumer sector in 2020. What this has led to is a healthier, more stable, and profitable business environment for these consumer companies. They learned how to pivot. And as always, we've always had this framework of companies in the consumer sector need to reinvent, remodel, and remerchandise. And they have. I love letters. You'll hear more about it. And part of the reason they have is they've all been adopting the letter P. And there are six elements that I use for the letter P. Everyone has enhanced their products. Pricing is continuing to change, and we'll talk more about that given the inflationary environment that we're certainly in. And placemaking is so important. And placemaking can happen both in-store and online, but it creates the destination and a sense of belonging. But what the pandemic did, how do you like that, another P, companies all adjusted their processes. And whether it's been and continues to be around supply chain, inventory management, and pricing, they've also, in addition to adjusting their process, they've included purpose. Because what came out of this community is a sense for a need of belonging. That purpose can include your customers, your employees, and your community. Because brand adoption and brand wellness, whether it means delivering for your community, your employees, and your customers, is more important than ever. So process and purpose should drive profit. In the here and now, Chuck, it's about the letter I. And the reason I say that, it's about invasion, the tragic, horrific Russia's invasion of Ukraine that has the world on edge. It's about inflation, which in company after company that I'm speaking to, even as recently as today, we're continuing to see consumers spend, even with a higher gas price at the pump, which frankly wouldn't surprise me if we start to see a little bit of deceleration for that low to mid-income consumer that we're watching very carefully as a result of that. But that I, beyond invasion and inflation, it's about investment because consumer companies today are increasing their capital spending in 2022, focusing on technology, infrastructure, stores, and brand building. Even in the face of my last letter I, interest rates. Because interest rate increases are definitely on tap and are going to continue to move higher in 2022. So the setup is that we have a consumer who continues to be healthy with low unemployment, higher wages. We have a promotional environment that's very rational. Even in my store checks and online checks this weekend, I'm not seeing a step up in the level of promotions. Look at unemployment, which is sitting here at 3.6% and wage growth at 4.3%. So we're seeing resilience. And you know what else we're seeing in 2022? Finally, we're seeing a year of events. Weddings, which are expected to be around 2.5 million, anniversaries, graduations, the ability to socialize and be together is more valued. And as a result of that, there's going to be more purchases, whether it's of cosmetics or certain types of apparel. That's what we're seeing out there. But in a stock market where, especially in consumer, this first quarter in terms of lapping stimulus feels to be one of the more challenging quarters as we go through 2022.
Oh, yeah. It's hard to imagine that we'll get more challenged. But, I mean, it's interesting you were talking about consumer spending. I know we were just looking at, and we'll probably be discussing, one of the surveys that just came out about how folks are expecting to spend less this summer, at least. Some of that clearly driven by inflation. You know, you can't spread your money around quite as easily if more of it's going to certain things. In terms of what it's all doing to the retail climate, we had an interesting talk in 2020 about the future of shopping malls. How much has that changed now? Because, I mean, online has always been online and it's always been established. But at this point, are people clamoring to get back out to the malls, or did that go away during the pandemic?
I think people want to go out and shop in stores. And I think the environment where they're shopping, it could be open air, it could be lifestyle centers, or it can be the very best malls. And I think that ability with the social connection and communication is what's driving that. I think, keep in mind, one of the most profitable transactions for a retailer is buy online, pick up in store, because the attachment sale that you get as a result of that is an increased sale. I think overall, we saw companies close and retailers close a lot of stores in 2020 and the beginning of 21. We've seen shopping malls and retail landlords really uptick the engagement that they're putting in their shopping centers, from watching whether it's entertainment or the invitation to socialize, or what companies and landlords are doing with restaurants. They're making it events, and I think that's helping to drive some traffic. For many, we're not back yet at the traffic levels of 2019, but we're significantly ahead of where we had been. And I think there's been new paradigms. No longer are stores opening on Thanksgiving Day. Shopping hours have been adjusted. Retailers have adjusted what their stores look like, both in terms of footprint and functionality. Landlords are more involved and curating with the tenants to create a destination that people want to go to and want to go to on a more regular basis. We're in a healthier climate today than we had been in the past. It's shown by the leasing environment, where landlords have more demand than they've had in quite some time, where retailers are going now to be net store openers because they found more productive and efficient ways of utilizing their space.
But you talked about in there the best malls.
Yep.
So what that also suggests is that the level that's, you know, not the A-level mall, but the B-level mall, those are in trouble, aren't they?
Some of them can be more challenged. It all depends on the tenants that they have, how much they're investing the center in order to attract consumers to the center on a regular basis. We're seeing some being rebuilt, and there are new types of tenants. You look at the medical retail tenants, or MedTail, as it's discussed. You look at museums. You look at education. There can be new purposes. But if you want conversion and traffic, it's functioned upon both the retailer and the landlord creating surprise and the wow to engage the customer.
How much is that playing out at the level of the stocks behind the malls, the mall operators, et cetera? I mean, do we have a real bifurcation there as well, just as you have the or is everybody trying to crowd that A-level mall space?
I think that, well, keep in mind, the other big popular areas, grocery-anchored centers, that is what has certainly been very compelling, because those grocery-anchored centers, especially when you're seeing consumers overall work from home on a more regular basis, that also stands in popularity. But what you're seeing in terms of some of the mall-based landlords, you've seen improvement in their stock prices. I mean, you look at some of them, they're off the lows while still certainly not at their peaks. So they're going to need to show, as we continue to move through, that they continue to show improvement in traffic and level of demand. It's a function of both the retailer and the landlord working together, but we still have not seen traffic return to 19 levels fully. And you know what else? We need to see foreign tourism. Those are very profitable customers.
But if we're waiting for foreign tourism, we could be waiting a good long time.
Yes.
I mean, that's where the invasion comes into play and what
right.
it's going to do to global travel, and also where inflation comes into play, because it's so much harder. So if we're waiting for that, how long does this recovery play out for? And as good as you've made everything sound, you know, it doesn't sound like we're actually firing on all cylinders.
We're not. I mean, you can't be a Pinocchio. You have to be able to see exactly what the headwinds are. And we have significant headwinds. We have the headwinds of inflation. We have the headwinds of rising gas prices. We have an environment where just getting goods is problematic. And what the uncertain thing also is, no one has promoted in over a year. What does the environment look like in a more rational environment when you do have a level of promotions? What will the real sales levels turn out to be? And I think both retailers and retail real estate companies are still waiting to see that. But in managing that, and the other headwind you have is, don't forget, higher wages. It doesn't come for free. But in managing that, balance sheets are stronger, and I think everyone is definitely operating with more conservatism and caution rather than saying we're back to a regular environment. We are not, and we may never be.
How is that changing the retail experience in other ways? I mean, are we winding up watching stores, as much as they want to have the physical footprint, wanting a slightly smaller physical footprint so that they can maybe accomplish it with fewer employees and things along those lines? I mean, are we seeing operational changes that functionally have changed the shopping experience when you get out and go shopping?
Everyone is curating the size of their store to a smaller footprint. That is a significant trend. They're putting in what they need to have. They're putting in where they're going to get the highest conversion, where there could be the most productivity, and where you could have multifunction usage of the buy online, pick up in store, or even ship from store. So the store of today and tomorrow does not look like the store of yesterday. That can be from footprints in off-price to footprints in specialty apparel, even to the luxury goods companies. And the other thing you're seeing is pop-ups become an area of opportunity where, if you're doing well in that pop-up, it is an opportunity that retailers will explore to turn that into a long-term regular footprint.
So as we talk about retail, and I know it's your area of specialty, but with the kind of growth you're seeing and the kind of security, because, hey, you've got pent-up demand and consumers ready to go, what are appropriate return expectations for this sector relative to others as we watch an economy turn?
Keep in mind that we saw a year in 2021 that was better than ever expected for retailers, where margins that retailers achieved were even beyond some of what their long-term targets were. So the reset for 2022 and beyond, what does normalization look like? And that's why we've seen, beyond just the fact that Omicron impacted the month of January, you're facing the lapping of stimulus with rising gas prices, and I think overall the first quarter, as we mentioned before, being more challenging, returns overall are not expected for the most part in 2022 to be at the levels of 2021. And that's why 2022 is the year of the investor day. There are more investor days that companies are doing this year in order to calibrate what does the long-term algorithm look like, especially given the fact that reaching the heights of 2021 aren't expected to last forever, and you probably won't see that in 22. And what does the investment spend that you're doing lead you to in operating margins for 24 and potentially 25?
You talked at length about how the industry has cut back, et cetera, but how overpopulated is it still? I mean, how much more carnage do we need to weed out the companies that didn't keep up, that thought they could continue with the old model, that just are not going to be there as we get into whatever this new model ultimately settles into?
The watch list for bankruptcies, which was extensive in 2019 and 2020, is almost virtually almost eliminated in 2022. So I think we're at a much cleaner environment than where we are today in terms of number of stores. There are not a lot of bankruptcies that should be coming. There easily could be a few, but it's not of anything of significance like what you saw 2 years ago.
And how much is all of this, as much as we talk about the six P's that you mentioned and the four I's, how much of all of this is dependent on the fact that we don't have any sort of next outbreak of COVID that requires a shutdown?
A lot of it. I mean, look what Omicron did in December and January. That impacted the beginning of the first quarter, too. Certainly, any lockdowns or extended periods where people would not feel comfortable is going to be an impact. And what that also impacts is what we also chatted about, the importance of events. Given that this year is supposed to be the return of events, not having events would be a real impact to both retailers and their consumers.
Dana, it's great to chat with you. I so much appreciate the time. You know, the retail thing affects us all, so there's always a million questions. I just don't have time to ask them all. So you just have to come back, and hopefully we won't wait another year and a half to do that.
I would love to do that. Thank you so much for having me, and I hope you and your viewers all stay safe and healthy.
Thank you very much, Dana. That's Dana Telsey. She's the Chief Executive Officer and Chief Research Officer at Telsey Advisory Group. And yeah, she was as good as advertised, wasn't she? And if you want to get more information, TelseyGroup.com, T-E-L-S-E-Y, TelseyGroup.com is the website. And as long as you know how to spell her last name, then follow her on Twitter. She is at Dana Telsey, D-A-N-A Telsey.